from the creators of The Shape. CCC Entertainment Group presents a nostalgic fan film series. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Fred Krueger, and many other iconic horror icons from the 80s and 90s converge in a universe we've all been waiting for. The Horrorverse, Season 1. Available now on YouTube. Awaken the darkness.
Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts, Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hanna. Ah, shit. Here we go again.
Well, here we are.
Should we do all that fun shit all over again, or do you guys just want to call it?
We can call it. It's fine. We haven't done it for a while, so we might as well just call it. I just wanted you guys to know that I'm not gonna talk too much. I've said enough on the show.
None of us have said shit for a month.
No. I've said enough this year. That's what I'm saying. I've said enough. Like, okay. I'm gonna gift you guys the microphone.
You're gifting us the microphone.
Oh, yeah. That's the kind of person I am. Yeah.
So you want us to talk?
Yeah. Like, we've got a whole year of doing stuff, and I wanted to get you guys to, like, talk about it. Let's go. Like, what the fuck is going on? We took a month off from the show. Sam's been waiting to do one. We've been busy doing all this stuff, from her movie to our shit. Pre-planning stuff for later. So, you know, I should just leave it alone. Not say a word. I'm so genuine with my giving.
That I just want to shut up. <this moment. laughs>
I'm so sorry. Okay, hi.
Hi.
I was sitting with my family the other day, and we were talking about that. And, you know, I have a tendency to over-explain things from time to time. I don't mansplain. I'm not rude. I just have a tendency to talk and keep talking until I'm done talking. And somebody made the joke at the family event. You know, we just got done celebrating Christmas. You could celebrate Kwanzaa, fuck all, or whatever. I celebrate Christmas. I was over with my family doing Christmas, and somebody said something about you just like the sound of your own voice. I'm like, no, I just don't mind talking. And Sophia pipes in and says, no, Aaron likes the sound of his own voice.
Well, fuck you, Sophia.
He likes the look of his own self and the sound of his own voice. Yes, man. He does.
That's very awesome. So. Yeah, I love her. She's awesome. She gets it. It's no joke. All right. Well,
also one of our biggest supporters. Thanks, Sophia.
Yes, she is. Well, here we are, guys.
I love it when cups get stuck to coasters and you spill all over yourself.
Yeah, what is that about? Like the coaster thing? Like coasters? They don't make coasters like they used to. They really don't. You put some on a coaster, and it sticks every time. Like, every time.
And then you spill because it sticks. And it's like, what the fuck is the point of the fucking motherfucking coaster then?
I will say this, since we're talking about the year in review. Out of one of the things I got out of my divorce, I have a nice set of these little rubber coasters that have some print on them. And the print actually helps keep it separated from the fucking moisture.
Those were always nice fantastic. Here, yeah, I miss a lot of things about your house being the...
Oh, yeah, like the studio?
Yeah.
And the lighting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially the lighting.
The sound, the light, everything.
The sound? What's wrong with the sound here?
And then this desk is just...
You're really loud in there to her.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, do you want to...
Coasters stick to the freaking glasses.
And... Well, we got ghetto shit. Do you want to go to Chuck's house and drive every Saturday morning again and do the show?
I never minded it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we're going to do that again, Chuck. Looks like 2024, we're coming to your house. Yeah.
Well, one thing is for certain.
Well,
one thing I've always said
here,
is that
really.
Everyone is always welcome.
Oh, yeah. See, Sam? See, I tried to set this area up nice. I tried to move her desk and give her books and a background other than the big window that's behind her that's black and stupid with no curtains on it. So to try to bring back that feeling that we had when we had the studio at our house.
Down in the basement.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And as soon as she came up here, mood changed. She hates it.
It's Scarface. No matter where you put me, it's Scarface.
You got GPO right there.
That couldn't be any less me right there.
Yeah, but it's still something. It's like, it's not like bad. It's something. It's better than a black ass window by. That's what I was thinking. Okay.
So maybe what we do is we swap the giant Pacific octopus so that frames off of her shoulder, and then we have the scar, and we have Al Pacino behind her. So
well, that's what I thought she would sit more to her right and block Scarface so people could see the GPO. I positioned her whole thing. I tried. Okay, this
is the other studio was cool because I decorated my own spot myself.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, you know what? Okay.
I totally get it.
So we could take down the Scarface.
Yeah.
Or we could take down the Scarface for the shows, and I will get you, because right now it's overly off to the side, because over Sam's shoulder, well, yeah, I'll bring you your possums for sure, but also over your shoulder, we have the Around the Reel board.
Oh, yeah. And
the reader board.
We missed that.
I think Chuck is basically saying he doesn't want us to come over there anymore.
Yeah. That's fine. You can bring us all our shit, and that's fine, too.
You saw my ex-wife's plural. Bitches.
Man.
Well, they're not bitches. You are bitches for acting like it. Well, Aaron, by bitches, I mean Aaron is plural for bitches.
We'll take
Sam's just a set of testicles. She's just dragging along for the ride. You know, she just sucks. She can't disconnect.
I'm a set of testicles.
He called you balls. Yeah, he called you balls. Some balls. Now, are they full balls? Are they empty balls? Are they hairy balls?
They're empty balls.
You're empty balls?
Yep, I'm empty balls.
Then why you get so angry? That's a peaceful thing. Empty balls helps you just calm down.
Mm. I guess I don't know anything about balls.
Well, it's funny. You guys ever see Disney stuff once in a blue moon? I know Aaron's not a big fan, but you know, everybody knows the Cinderella story, right? And Cinderella shows up at the big dance, and she wanders down, and she comes down the stairs, and she walks out. She walks out to the ball. Thank you. She walks out and she meets Prince Charming and they dance. But you know, she actually said something. You know what Cinderella said when she got to the ball?
No.
Mm-mm.
Because she got to the ball, she gagged when she got to the balls. Mm. Yeah. She took it all in, is what Chuck is saying. Yeah, she.
That's just wrong.
She throated that bitch. She didn't fuck around. You know what I mean?
How she got to live happily ever after, I'm guessing.
I'm not so sure about that one, but...
No wonder her slippers fell off. You know what I'm saying?
We all want to be choked by some balls, don't we? That's a dream come true. Like, a happily ever after for me is... choking on balls, right?
Well, no, you don't choke on the balls. You don't get that far. You stop when you get to the ball.
Oh, so you don't choke.
And then you dance. No, you do choke because you're that...
I'm so confused. I'm so confused.
If you can get the balls in too, Sam, I mean, you... Yeah.
If this is entertaining for anybody, I still can't believe it.
I can't believe it either,
I really can't believe it. It's unbelievable. I mean, I know it entertains us. But anybody else, it's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Why?
Fuck is wrong with us, to be honest?
Probably a lot.
There's a
lot. Okay. Well, guys, it's the end of the year.
Yes.
I think we should play the best video of the year. I think you should let me play the best video of the year.
Play the video. You take the reins, like I said when the show started.
Because this is my grandson, and he's so funny.
Do your thing.
Well, this is my grandson with my daughter.
Yeah, do your thing.
Not his mother.
Let's go. Show the world.
Ready?
I'm ready. Make sure you keep it by the microphone.
I'm going to do that.
Okay. They may not see the video again, but we'll try.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Put it down.
Nope.
Jeez.
Nope.
Put it down.
Nope. Bitch.
James. Give it to me.
Bitch.
And welcome to Around the Reel.
I say that video makes me so happy.
There's the smile, Sam. There you are.
Now make sure we send that down. Make sure you get that in, and Aaron will edit that, put it into the show.
Yeah, I'll mix the video in so people can see it.
Nope.
Bitch. Bitch.
He's two. He's not fucking around.
No, he's not.
Jesus Christ.
He's out of here.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let him have the lips.
Yeah, he's got to have the lips. And what is the lip, Sam?
Chapstick.
Yes, he needs his fucking chapstick.
And he wanted to ask Mama. He wanted to ask Mama.
Okay. Well, welcome to Around the Reel.
Welcome to Around the Reel.
It's been a hell of a...
Greetings, mouth breathers.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for...
Yeah, Chuck had to say something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Well, I said welcome to Around the Reel after he got done saying, bitch.
Well, here we go. We got a show. Let's do a show.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do a show.
Let's do the damn thing already.
And if anybody's listened to the previous episode, we had a prelude to this episode about Charles. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we want to talk about with Chuck that happened this year. But we did a lot of stuff overall as our push towards making movies and trying to make it in this industry. We've done a lot of stuff this year, and some of it we've experimented with, we've stayed in our lane on some stuff, and we dealt with a lot of stuff like people deal with on a day-to-day basis. There's a lot of stress, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of good times, there's a lot of bad times. So I don't know, Sam, how do you want to start the show? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to do?
Why do you put it on? Why are you putting it on?
Because I was going to give you guys the mic. Well, how do you want to do this? Do you want to just go after Chuck right now about the stuff that we've dealt with? Do you want to talk about your documentary?
I think that Chuck needs to talk about what happened and everything else, and that we should address that.
Well, since he's kind of like the guest, so we can interview him, right?
Sort of, I think so. I think that's what he said we could do. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's always been with us with the podcast, but he backed out of a lot of things prior, a little bit ago, and a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But and some of the podcasts he wasn't there. But however, we missed him, and he has come back, and he's gonna tell us about that experience, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, good job, Sam.
Thank you.
Very good. Charles.
Well, so as many of you kind of know from listening to the show and being part of the life of Around the Reel and all of us here and just even knowing me on Facebook, for those of you actually who are listening to this and like, I thought I was friends with that fucker. Yeah, we were. I got hacked back in May and sorry, we're not friends anymore. Send me a request and we'll fix that. But yeah, a weird ass year. Let's see. From separation to child dying to divorce to trying to run away from life just to make all the pain go away and trying to hide and then rediscovering oneself and moving forward and then trying to rebuild from what I stepped away from. It's just been it's been an interesting year, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it is an interesting year with all those things going on. I would. No, there's your dog, Sam.
Yep, there's my dog.
Let me love that dog.
Let me just get him.
Oh, no, it's fine. You're good.
He can lay at my feet like he normally
does. Oh, well, yeah, you can bring him in. It's totally fine. Yeah, Chuck, you've gone through some shit. You've gone through some shit. So... No, the dog took off. It's kind of like Joe Rogan's show. He does this. It's fine. It happens. We just don't have the kind of viewership he does. But maybe they like it because it's real.
Life.
Yeah.
Life happens and happens while you do the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love it.
Aaron, lay down.
Yeah. Pretty much. Okay. Getting back to the subject matter here, which is Charles. Mm-hmm. So you've gone through. Let's start with the divorce. Okay, so you were having a hard time in your relationship with Amber for quite a while, if I remember
correctly. Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
And from what I saw on my end, from what we witnessed, I know Sam would probably agree, it looked like you were trying your ass off. Yeah. And I'm not sitting here just trying to make you look like the fucking hero. I mean, I literally mean that you were doing shit that Sam and I were like, what the fuck?
Well, you were doing everything you could.
Yeah.
Without a lot of response.
When it comes to being in a relationship, I'm the kind of person who's going to put everything that I can into it, whether
I usually am too.
friends, family, whatever. That's why I only have a few people that I call friends, and they're on the screen, and a few handful of others. And family, and well, they're also family, so it's a little different. So, I mean, if you're close enough to me to be that much in my life, then you're family to me, and I do everything I can for family.
And I'm gonna point out the fact right now that Sam agreed with you on that. And I want to ask you both then, with this subject that we're talking about right now, before we move on, why do you guys like sacrifice your own well-being for others so easily? And know that it hurts you. And I'd love to hear both of your responses. Like, you know, it brings you down. It puts you in a place of degradation almost. And I'm curious as to why you put yourself behind others. So who wants to go first?
I will.
Okay, Sam, go.
Well, life is short. And you only have so much time to do whatever it is that you want to do and accomplish. And I think people, they're going to be in your life regardless. I mean, you have to deal with people no matter how you look at it. But the ones that are important to you, I think that it's worth putting your time into. And it hurts when they don't accept it well, or they don't put the time back into it, or they don't really care, or things like that. It sucks. And that's what hurts. But I don't regret any of that, because I believe that those relationships are important, and whether or not they're important the other way around doesn't really matter, but it doesn't really, because they're still, I don't know. It's still, you have to do your best to make relationships in your life matter. And you have to do your best to make sure that you're doing the right thing and you're being a good person and all of that is in place. And that's why I put so much into that, because I think relationships matter. Do I sometimes end up with a lot of people that don't feel the same way? Yeah, I do. Pretty much all of them. But, you know, I still believe in that. I still believe in people are important in your life, and you just have to work at it. Relationships you have to work at, whether it's family or someone that you want to marry or are married or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to put work into that, and that's just a no-brainer. I mean, you have to.
Okay.
Relationships are work, and I don't care what anyone says. None of them are easy. None of them.
Okay, good. Fair enough.
So that's my answer to that.
Okay.
I guess. Chuck, what's your answer?
Yeah, Chuck, what about you?
Relationships are important, absolutely. For me, I'm not afraid to make a commitment to someone or something, or doing something and following through with things, obviously. And my wife and I, we were together for 18 years, married for 15, but we have been in each other's lives for more than half of my life, from, you know, being in school together to just occasional seeing each other after we dated in high school, and then we broke up and saw each other occasionally just in life. And then after life brought us back together again, we were dating and we were together. So I believe in marriage. I believe in commitment. I believe in finding something in someone and sticking through it. And I knew all of her baggage. I knew everything that she'd been through in life, and I just figured anything I could do to support her, to keep her going, I didn't see what I was doing to sacrificing myself as much as it was just supporting someone else. It's, you don't see everything that you're going through within yourself until you're not in it anymore. You know, what's the best way to dig your way out of a hole? Put down the fucking shovel. And you don't know. Because, I got to dig out. So you keep digging. But you don't realize you're digging out. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, take a frog and stick them in water, bring it to a slow boil. And that's how you get the best frog legs.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go. I thought where you were going with that was this frog's ass watertight.
Okay.
Sorry.
But with the same thing, it's just like you don't when you're in a relationship and you're committed to somebody, you don't know what's good and what's bad on a daily. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, I could go back, if I went back and recorded mine and Aaron's conversations for the last, not let's say, well, I'm not going to say this last year because it's been a little bit different this year. But say let's back when he was working for the bank, that the institution.
Yeah.
Our conversations every morning were almost the same. And it was kind of me going, it's all right, buddy, you can get through it. I know it's not your favorite thing to do, but you know, I never try and tell Aaron, you know, good job at his job because he doesn't want to be there. I never try and tell Aaron that, you know, you can get through it. But it's just like, yeah, find something you can do today to make it better.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing, we had a conversation last week about being content. It's like, wow, I'm actually content, not in contempt.
Content.
Or content.
Yes.
But you're in content now with being where you're at and stuff. Why? Because now you know enough of your job that you can focus on other things throughout the day that also bring you joy.
Correct.
I mean, yeah, I can do my job all day long, which I do sometimes, and it's annoying. But also, while I'm doing my job all day long, I know I can spend time in between the moments for myself, for something we're working on, for throwing a post out, or doing something, or doing anything. Messaging my kids and saying hi and remember that, you know, they're there. And that's the other thing too, is, you know, my kids, you know, my relationship with Amber wasn't just, you know, a relationship with a woman. It was a relationship with an entire family. Mm-hmm. You know, I raised four kids. You know, I don't say this to be disrespectful, Nick, if you listen to the show, but like, you know, I had a stepdaughter and a stepson for a short period of time, Mariah and Nick, and I was married to Kim. And then I got Sophia from that relationship. But with Amber, I raised a family. So I raised Sage and Isaac and Regan and Sophia all together. Was it perfect? No. It's a blended family. But even if it's a straight family, it's not even ever perfect.
Yeah, straight families are hard.
But it doesn't matter if it... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the scenario. I am sick of having to stop and put labels on everything before we can move forward in conversations. All relationships are hard. It doesn't matter if I married fucking Amber out of high school and all the kids were ours, or if it was something that we put together at the end.
True.
Everybody has different personalities. Everybody has different things. I'm just so tired of... Somebody said to me after the relationship ended, and it's like, you know, well, you know, at least, you know, I guess you kind of lost a whole bunch of stuff because of, you know, you lost the kids and the wife and everything. And I'm like, well, why do you think that? I mean, I still built a relationship with everybody. I didn't have as strong a relationship with my eldest daughter as I did with my youngest daughter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was still, you know, Isaac and Regan both, you know, called and checked in on me, you know, every couple of weeks. At least once a month.
And just so everybody knows, when he says daughter, these are his stepdaughters. So they don't think you don't have a relationship with your real daughter. That's not the case.
No, my real daughter lives here, everybody. If you don't know, the one I keep killing in our movies, that's mine.
Yes, yes. You know, but that's commendable because, I mean, you looked at him no different than your own.
That's commendable that you keep killing her in your movies.
That too. Yeah, that's great. That's great. It's no joke.
Hey, Liv, Mariah, come to set.
But no, you know, I think that's important for the conversation because these weren't your birth children. You know, these were kids that...
I don't think that... I disagree. I don't think that's important.
Well, I'm not saying it is, but, you know, just so the audience doesn't go, Jesus, so he didn't bond with his oldest kid? You know, some people don't.
Right,
understand.
No, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not the case. These are his stepkids, but he looks at them like his own, so... And yep. That's badass. So that's all.
Well,
that
is badass, and yep. I look at my stepkids like my own.
Exactly.
Guys. Well, I don't. I mean, technically, I mean, if you want to get all technical, I don't have stepkids, but I have.
Right, and Chuck doesn't either. Like, Chuck doesn't either. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. You yeah. finish, please. You finish.
Oh, I know. That's all I was gonna say. I was like, yeah, I never. And when it comes to my family, I never. Yes, they was. They never. Nobody ever said this is my stepdad. You know, this is always. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my mom, my dad. I mean, they say my dad and my other mom live, you know, in Tenino or, you know, whatever. But, you know, it was never, nobody was ever like, oh, no, this is my stepdad. Nobody ever went in the family ever went out of the way to say, to create a separation, which I always appreciated. Mm. Yeah. And that's because I never created a separation.
Right. Mm. I got you.
You know, it's not her kids and my kids. It's our kids.
Okay.
And after 18 years, trust me, as fucked up as they may be or as wonderful as they may be, it's all on us.
Yeah. Sure. I agree. So, you said something during that that made me go, okay. And you were talking about like what you do during the day for yourself. Yeah. Like you've got a job and you work, and to balance that out, you do things for yourself during the day. What you always told me, find something in the day that brings you joy. How come you can do that with your job and think about what you need to do for yourself, but you can't do it when you're in a relationship and you sacrifice those moments for you?
Because I was looking for the joy in the relationship. So I was sacrificing to try and create the moments in the relationship.
And that's where misery comes in.
But that's just it. I'm looking for moments, mm-hmm. and not all the time are the moments there. Uh-huh. You know, I'm looking for moments. I'm hunting for them. I'm trying to create them by doing everything I possibly can. And that's I'm saying as in anybody who's in a relationship. You want to try and do everything you possibly can to make sure that your spouse is happy. You know, everybody always makes the joke: happy wife, happy life, happy husband. You know, let's see if we can spoil that. But still, you want your other person to be happy, because that way, if they're happy, they respond better to you. But the problem is if somebody is dealing with things that they don't know how to get through, mm-hmm. get or rise above, or to set aside, then you're constantly, all you're doing in that scenario, I can speak after 15 years of doing it, all you're doing in that scenario is piling on them, and you're not actually giving them any deviation or levity of what they're going through. All you're doing is actually adding more, even though you're trying, in your mind, you're doing something to make it better for them, but it's not happening that way. Yeah. And if that's happening to you and you don't see it, it's hard, because I didn't see it for 12 years.
Okay.
In an 18-year relationship.
Got it. Sam, what are you thinking about?
Nothing.
What do you have to say?
I was just listening.
Okay. Okay.
I don't have any comment. No comment.
No comment.
No comprende.
I'm not afraid to sacrifice something for something of myself for something else.
Well, yeah.
You know, when it comes to my relationship, I mean, same thing. I mean, I am in a relationship again now. I'm sacrificing certain things, but mm-hmm. at the same time, we're an understanding of, like, you know, these things are important to me. These things matter, and that's all cool. I mean, that's great. That's good. It doesn't matter. You know, you can be involved, you cannot be involved. You know, or, you know what, you know, if you want to help, great. If you don't, okay, that's fine. You mm-hmm. want to, you know, just like, you know, today, rebuilding the pantry. It was a team effort. We got everything done.
Good.
Okay. You know, she jumped in. She wanted to help us out with some of our movie stuff, and she's been helpful on set doing things.
It's yes, she nice. Has been. She has.
Okay. At the same time, it's like, she's like, I need some grill time. Yeah. Go, have fun. I mean, I'm not a younger version of me would worry. Mm-hmm. Not about what, and I never, and just so everybody understands me, I'm not the kind of person, I'm not a jealous person, but I'm worried because I don't trust humans, because humans fuck things up.
Correct.
So I'm not worried that somebody's going to go out and do something against, like, my partner's going to go do something against me. I'm worried that other people will do stupid things around them or do something to hurt someone or something like that. That's the things that make me worry. But so I was like, go have fun. You do you, boo.
People are going to fuck things up, and yet you trust them enough to give everything that you have.
Well, the people I anticipate fucking things up are not the ones I anticipate being as close to me.
Fair enough.
And so I have spent a year guarded, making mistakes along the way because of that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's commendable. I think it's commendable what you and Sam can do. That's why I was bringing this up. It's something I've had a hard time doing in my entire life after the shit I've seen in my own personal life, and I've come in that, you know, we've talked about it many times on this show, you know, you guys know me, but I'm trying to get better. So I'm asking you these questions because I want to see those feelings and those thoughts that you guys have. I think it's good to share, because I don't know if I'm the anomaly or not, but I think a lot of people out there have a hard time trying to understand others. I hear it every day at my job. You know, yeah. there's people that we work with all the time, and they're just like, what the fuck is going on? What's wrong with these people? I don't, you know, they say it all the time, and I'm like, you're surprised? You know, and they generally sometimes seem like they are, and sometimes I don't think they are. They just say it.
Right.
Because in the moment, they're just like expecting something else, and then blah, this comes out. You know, and I think that expectation we have to hope others are going to do things the way we foresee them doing it, and then they don't, it lets you down. And that's kind of what I see you and Sam go through sometimes. And even Sam with me, like, you know, I let her down all the fucking time. I mean, that's why her face is like it is right now. It's not for any other reason other than it's tying into like our own personal things that we deal with. But, you know, we all go through it. It's not easy.
It's nothing in this life is supposed to be. There's a quote that I can't remember the guy who said it. It was an ex NFL player, and he was giving a speech at somebody's graduation or something. And he was talking about his family and stuff growing up. And he's like, his dad was the guy. He's like a dishwasher, whole life on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing he said that I remember from that whole speech was the fact that he was like, no matter what, I would rather see you aim high and miss than aim low and hit every time.
Yeah, you take the shot no matter what.
Take a chance. Yeah. And I take a chance with people.
Yeah, Sam does too.
I take a chance with our projects. I take a chance on chasing things that I don't know if I want to chase or not.
Right, right.
You know, there's three of us. I mean, look at some of the guys that we follow. Our buddy Jason Horton. I'm calling you out, so I hope you're listening, Jay. So all these people who do things individually, at the end of the day, the only person they answer to is themselves.
Right.
We're doing this as a collective. At the end of the day, we all have to talk to one another to figure things out. And if we don't talk for a certain period of time, chaos ensues, mm-hmm. feelings get hurt, mm-hmm. and people don't know what's going on.
True.
Yeah,
factual. That's facts.
So let's fast forward a little bit. So after the separation mm-hmm. and going through some weird shit in my life, and I started seeing somebody who was an old friend and it was a familiar thing and all kinds of things, I was making drastic changes in my life come April?
Sometime mid-year.
May?
Yeah.
Sometime. April, May, something like that.
Mid-year, yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know what? I got a job opportunity I could follow up on. I was like, you know what? I need a change. It seems a good thing to just, you know, this year's been weird. So let's just start making a change to go towards that direction. And so I was going to move to the other side of the state and get another job and chase different opportunities. And I always say it, y'all hear it here and you hear it before. I'm never afraid to drive. So if I had to come back to do some stuff, you know, yeah, I'd still do some things. Mm-hmm. But I was making a drastic change, which meant like, you know, well, let's call it what it was, running away from my life. Now, unfortunately, in doing so, this person who had a lot of interest in me and everything, I ended up hurting, unfortunately, because it was a relationship that formed from everything and wasn't ready for anything. Mm-hmm. Why I was running away from everything, because I wasn't ready. Some people might say, I'm still not ready. But when are you going to stop and actually accept the fact that you might be ready? I'm not going to sit around for 4 years and sit in a fucking pity party and wondering, is now the time? Can I do it now? No. Okay. I'm not going to wait. Life needs to move forward.
I don't think that's what anyone expected of you. I think that people, if anyone comments on the fact that maybe you move a little soon or you move a little fast, when relationship-wise, I think it has to do with the fact that it not anything to do with what you said, but it's you healing. It's you grieving. It's you dealing with the stuff that you've dealt with is a lot, and it's huge and it's big. And I feel like if anything, you taking personal time to grieve is important, I think.
Sure.
And that's just me being a friend and feeling like that's what I would want someone to tell me or help me with if I wasn't doing it, because that's so important.
Yeah. I mean, this is just over a relationship at this point. I mean, this is just over, you know, trying to make drastic changes from feeling bad to wondering why I...
It's not just about that, though. It's you lost a kid.
No, this is all before that. These first decisions to do all this is in April or May. Isaac didn't pass away until June. So my first step towards trying to run away from everything was before that. And actually, Isaac passing made a break point in my life as to where everything else was going. And that took a couple of months for me to realize, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to continue to run. I'm not going to try and do these foolish, dumb things and try to hide from myself or run away from anything or any of that kind of stuff. So, but in the process of doing that, I hurt you two, because when I was like falling apart, you guys gave me space, but I took the space and I shoved you guys away from me, and I fucking built a fucking Grand Canyon between us. I was like, I just, you know, yeah, I was still helping out with the Horrorverse. We still did one thing every month, and believe it or not, I was actually involved in all of that.
Yes, you were.
But I totally bowed out on Sam when it came to starting her next documentary and didn't go help with that.
I didn't take it personal. Just,
you should have.
I didn't. I knew you were going through some shit.
I know, but at the same time...
I didn't. I mean, I called you just, a fucking pussy.
I know. But that's just the way you talk. There's also the same guy. I got punched in the face while we were doing a fight scene, and he walks up. He's like, did he hit you here? Or did he hit you here? Where did he hit you at? Motherfucking get off me.
Matthew drilled him right in the face. That's funny.
No, but the funniest part is that he keeps showing the video of you falling in the water.
It's the best video I've ever seen in my life. That's the top video ever. That's the best.
You mean not me going in, the me coming out. So
yeah, yeah, you coming out.
Sucking up the moisture from the mask.
Not breathing
very. So did I actually explain that to you? Okay, we're sidetracking from the story to go off the side tangent.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. But did I ever explain that to you? So like, you know, when we walked the lake.
Yeah.
We only were going in so deep because we didn't know how deep the lake was. We didn't know what it was in the lake, and the lake was kind of murky. So and there's all this algae. So the funny thing is, I know I'm wearing a sack. It's not a burlap sack. It's got a little bit of breathability to it. But I know I'm wearing this sack, so when I fall back and I hit the water, for whatever reason, my brain said, I'm covered in algae, I'm not going to be able to breathe when I stand up. So I jump back up out of the water, which seemed like a couple of seconds, but was like, I'm just glad I got all the way underwater, so Aaron had something to cut before I came shooting out of the water, going... I thought the algae was all over my face and I couldn't breathe, but it's just the sack. And it was chilly.
Yeah, they're gonna see it in this video too. They'll see it. It's the best thing ever. How fast you come up out of that water, you can fuck around. You're like, fuck that water. Hey, he did it though.
Water around here is cold. I don't care.
No, it was cold outside. What was it, like 38, 37 degrees outside?
It was actually 33 degrees when I got in the truck and we were leaving that night.
Fuck.
Which puts the water anywhere between 20 and 25 degrees.
Yeah, it was cold. He hit that water, jumped out of there like a fucking Mexican jumping bean. He didn't fuck around. He was out.
Well, that was nothing. I mean, I put the full Monty on the beach because I stripped off of all of my wet shit and started putting on dry clothes.
Run around butt naked.
It was funny. I was like,
Nathan, you might want to move.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I was dying laughing. I laughed so hard. Okay. Yeah, I think we handled the transition fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sam and I had words. We were upset. I remember talking with Sam about it. It sucked. And I'm just like, I don't understand. I mean, this is the one thing I know he loves. Why is he not doing this? This is fucking stupid. I don't believe him. This is bullshit. You know, and it was a weird thing to see you not engaging like you once did.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. But we all knew that you were going through some stuff, right? We knew this. But at the same time, you know, you have this persona about you that is like this get through it kind of guy. Like, no matter what. Like, I'm bitching about my job for 5 years at a bank. Who's the guy that fucking says and figures out that, you know, I can get through it? You figure it out a way. And you couldn't do it for yourself. And I think that's important to spell out because we can always tell others how easy it is to get through shit. But when you're in something,
I won't tell anybody it's easy to get through any goddamn thing. I will not be the one.
Yeah, you don't. You don't. But actually, though, you don't say it that way, though. But you counsel people.
Well, I try. I try to help people because sometimes.
But that's all it is. It's just a different form of counseling. Like me going to Chuck going, stop being a bitch. Get up. I'm still trying to counsel him. I'm just not using the correct like educational
terms. Caring and like.
Yeah. You know, all that shit. It's like, let's get to the fucking point. Either you're going to buck up or not. You're going to do it now or later. Well, guess what? He didn't do it then, but he did it later. He still did it. It doesn't matter how you say it. As long as it's encouraging somebody to know they're worth a damn. I just think you got to get to the fucking point with people and say, you're worth a fucking damn. You're worth it.
It's the same thing. I mean, so anybody who followed the show for as long as we've been going, when I got sick, I didn't realize how much the illness was affecting me until I went back last year and we were watching older shows.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see how sick I kept looking as we went through the fucking show.
Sure.
I look younger now with a white and gray beard than I did 4 years ago when we were in the middle of all the 3 years ago when we were in the middle of all that stuff.
Yeah, you're healthier looking. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just goes back to the same. You never know you're in it. It's the same thing. You're not going to get out of the hole until you put down the fucking shovel.
Right.
You know, same thing. Whether you're sick, whether you're dealing with misery, whether you're dealing with pain, whether you're dealing in a bad relationship, you're not going to see it.
Right.
And people from the outside might say it wrong. They might not say it supportively. But you got to look at how they're saying things and listen to people who they're saying it. And you have to realize that sometimes they might not know how to talk, but they're still talking. So maybe there's validity behind what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You guys are always have validity behind what you're saying. I just don't, you know, sometimes you don't want to hear it or you can't hear it yet.
Yeah, like both ways. I know Sam would talk to you very nicely and empathetically. You wouldn't listen to her. I was blunt with you. You didn't listen to me. No one could have got through to you. Right?
Right.
That's what I mean,
look at the show I blew up on and walked out of.
Right.
Same thing. Sam was on the porch being like, please don't leave. Stay here and talk to me. And I fucking bolted.
Yeah. Yeah. You were gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't know. And everybody, and if you're a human being who has a functioning brain, we all deal with it.
Right.
Nobody does it perfect. Nobody's, you know, I'm a positive person for the most part. I'm not positive all the time. Can't be.
Wait, you're not perfect?
Because there's life. we're not going to get into that conversation for this one.
Sorry.
The world created one perfect being and we destroyed him.
And that was you, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I'm still kicking.
No, I mean...
Oh, he's talking about Christ.
Oh, no.
He's talking about our Lord Savior Jesus Christ.
He's talking about God. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
he's yeah. talking about God when there's yeah. Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... But no, okay, so yeah, so I'm in the middle of planning on running away and everything's going on.
Yes.
I'm in the middle of trying to save my home because I like this house. We actually remodeled this house so we could make a movie in it, one specific movie.
Yep.
That we were halfway through that we had to stop because of people's choices of leaving life and leaving relationships and everything else. I shouldn't say leaving life. I do have an actress that we still can't find. Laura, if you're out there and you're listening, call me. Just throw a shout out, sorry. But it's difficult because no matter what, things are going to change and things are going to move on. So in the process of going through all that and me trying to save a house to make a movie that I didn't want to make and then looking at possibly turning around and selling the house and changing and running away from everything and saying, you know what, here, guys, take the company, run with it, do whatever you can. We'll sign whatever we have to do, figure out paperwork later, whatever. And then in the middle of trying to get up the house ready, I get that phone call that Sunday evening after Isaac had a motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. And that's my son, my only son. And he's not mine by blood, but I raised that kid for 18 years, so he's my son. And 4 days later, he passed away from his injuries. He was actually gone when he arrived at the hospital. They just kept him on life support because he was a donor. Family was coming into the final decision. And same thing can be said. I'll say the same thing for my friend who I was dating at the time, who said, you know, there was a change in your life from before and after Isaac. That's fine. That's fair. It doesn't mean that there was more in that relationship than I knew that there was or anything. But at the same time, yeah, my whole life changed when Isaac passed away. You want to talk about not knowing a direction anymore. The super unfortunate thing for me in that scenario was the fact that I got hacked back in May. And I lost everything on that account. And the last year of being separated and everything else from Amber and conversations I had, most of my conversations with my kids were through Messenger. So all my conversations with Isaac were gone. We barely talk on text messaging. If you look at my text messaging from Isaac, it's like math shit and taxes and what do I do for this? But, you know, the nice things were on Messenger. Mm-hmm. And that was gone. And, you know, that was one of the hardest things I had to deal with that was the fact that, you know, the memorabilia of my son was mostly with his mom, and all I had were, you know, all I had left were the memories of raising a kid who was fun, difficult, crazy, challenging, disrespectful. But man, when that kid laughed, and when I say that kid, I say about anybody who's younger than me, but when he was a kid all the way up until he was fucking 24 when he passed, when that dude laughed, man, everybody lit up. I went on a trip in September, which ended said relationship. I went on a trip in September, and I ended up going into a coffee shop. Look, I'm outside of Chicago looking for good coffee, because Starbucks are everywhere, Dunkin' Donuts is everywhere. Looking for something for some good coffee, and I go to Gigi's Cafe. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, this, you know, perfect. I'm gonna go hit this little cafe. It's a mom and pop, and hopefully they have good coffee. And I walk in, and it's a training center down kid and down adults getting ready to move into the workplace and trying to help them out and learn and all that stuff. And all I kept thinking about when I was in there was how Isaac would go walking into places, crazy, wild, talking shit and all that stuff. But he would walk into that place and he would stop. And he would drop everything and totally engage. So, of course, I bought a coffee cup from that place. That's my little reminder of thinking about Isaac for how he responds to things. Because Isaac would, he would talk you to death. He would argue till he was fucking out of moisture in his mouth. But man, he would make you laugh. He would make you smile. He would sacrifice his own humility to make somebody else laugh. There was no, oh, I can't believe you did that. It was so stupid. Not jackass type stuff, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it didn't matter. If you walked into a room and slipped and fell down the set of stairs, you'd turn around and look at the stairs and look at everybody and be like, did I make it? You know, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, whatever he could do to make everybody else smile. So that's what made up for the years of fighting him on drugs and fighting him on growing up and fighting him in, you know, honestly, being a dad to a kid and trying to teach them that you can be better than you realize you can. I expect better from you because I know how great you will be.
Through all of that, I have to say, through all of that, he still was him. He still was him in there, even through those fights. And you're right about him when it comes to making people laugh and smile, because I remember a 4th of July that I didn't stop laughing. Because he made faces the entire night. We made faces the entire night.
There's a lot of pictures.
Just for no reason. Just because it was fun and it was funny. And so he and I just kind of made faces all night. It was the best 4th of July. Honestly, literally the best 4th of July I ever had was that one. Mm-hmm. It was fun. He made it fun.
Yeah.
He was a fun guy. Through everything that he went through, the hard times, the not so hard times, he was always fun, or made it fun, made stuff fun. Even when he was sad, he made stuff fun, which is very special of a gift that anyone can have, is to make someone feel or laugh or feel good when you yourself are sad. That's definitely a gift. And he had that. He definitely had that.
Yeah, I was showing Jen pictures the other day, teaching her who I am because she doesn't know much about me other than, some Facebook stalking before while you're dating. And I was teaching her about Isaac and stuff, since obviously you get introduced to. And I was going through a bunch of the pictures from the memorial and stuff. We had all those pictures, videos, and all kinds of fun things that we went through and stuff. And I found that picture of him washing his bike with his buddy Cody. Excuse me, Kobe. And Cody keeps saying, wanted to say Kobe. I kept calling him Kobe because of our buddy Kobe.
Yeah.
And it was like an hour and a half he got in his accident.
Wow.
Of him sitting there cleaning his bike that Sunday. And I was like, in my feed, I'm looking back through my feed in June and stuff, and that's like, there's a picture of me ripping up out the floor into the dishwasher because that was the issue I was dealing with for the day. My dishwasher went out, soaked the floors. Septic tank started to overflow because it needed to be pumped. And then that night I get the phone call about the accident. So I go through and I look at the pictures, and all the pictures line up in chronological order. So I'm dealing with the dishwasher. Next picture, Isaac and his buddies washing bikes. Next picture, me sitting outside having a drink after mowing the lawn, and noticing that the fucking septic is fucking starting to stink.
Crazy, isn't
it? It's interesting when you look at your life through pictures.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It doesn't tell the whole story, but it shows a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. You never know, right? You don't know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Mm-mm. Well, I thought that way too. Chuck, I get what you're saying. I get it.
Yeah, it was something very unexpected, but at the same time, that kid was always a daredevil, if there was one, I swear.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
When Isaac was a kid, oh my gosh, I'm gonna forget the girl. I thought it was the older Clements girl. It might have been his buddy Haley. And I wasn't there for this part of the story. But Amber told me the story before after it happened, and he was kinda walking with a girl, and they were all going down to the park, and they had, you know, the chain up from post to post so you can't drive through it. And he went to jump over that chain. And the fucker hit his foot and fell flat on his face. Now that part was funny. But from that day forward, anytime we went to a park, anytime we went anywhere that had a drooping rope or chain from one post to another, he was trying to jump and land on it.
Zero fear.
Yeah, just daredevil. Zero fear. Daredevil of a kid. Yeah. That was he thrived there. He wanted that rush he looked for.
I mean, I'm not... I have the video of the crash site. I mean, on the day he passed, the travel he had on the day he passed, he was over 100 miles an hour and swerving in between vehicles on a Scotch rocket until he hit a curve, overcorrected, and hit the shoulder. And then him and his bike separated. And that's as much detail as I'll give you guys today. But I walked to the crash site from where he left the road to where they found his body. And it was 300 feet. Jeez. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Crazy. Boy was a daredevil.
He was a daredevil.
To the very last minute. And his best friend, Jesse, who, you know, his best friend, Jesse, who he wanted to wring his neck when they were kids. I wanted to wring Jesse's neck too, because he was the one he drank with. He was the one he was doing drugs with. He was the one doing all stupid shit. Jesse unfortunately passed about 3 months before, a few months, before, I think 3 months before Isaac then. In a car accident, where he wasn't actually even driving, and the joke was, with as fast as Isaac was going, all the stupid shit he was doing, all he could say is, he went rolling into fucking heaven, and right to Jesse's feet, looking up, going, "Did you see that?"
R.I.P. Well. Isaac. We'll always miss Isaac. He's definitely a smile on your face. If you saw him, if you knew him, if you talked to him, he was a smile on your face.
I mean, straight up personal note. Amber's stuff is out of the house. The only thing that's still here is the piano. And when Larry Butler was here filming with us, he sat down and played the piano. It was beautiful. I want the piano out of the house, because the only person who played that piano was Isaac.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I... Every day, I cry. Thinking about him every day, and it's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't consume me, it doesn't overflow me, but there's a couple of days where I don't, and then I feel bad, I feel guilty, because oh my gosh, I actually went a day I didn't think about it. And that's not right. It's not, there's no perfect way to do it, there's no perfect way to grieve.
No.
But usually, Aaron knows this from conversations from when my relationship was bad. There was mornings I would drive to work every morning listening to music, and at some point I would break down in the morning before I start my day, just to try and get some of it out to move forward. So Isaac gets a little bit of that every day, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to show it, because that fucker makes me smile.
He makes me smile too.
So, anyway. Now that we're to June, so I have 6 months to go. Okay, let's make this a little more comical.
No, it's fine.
In a fucked up kind of way.
It's life. It needs to be talked about. And
I think it's important, Joe.
Yeah, and not only that, but he was so special that he needs to be honored. And I believe that we just did that.
Well, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for you.
Yeah.
You need to talk about this.
Healing. Talking is healing.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing is what you're doing is that you've gone through some of the worst moments that people can actually go through. Losing a child. Mm-hmm. Ain't easy. I've lost parents.
No one's supposed to lose a child.
I haven't lost a child. I don't know what that feels like.
No one's supposed to lose a child.
Right? Okay. Right. So, I mean, and here you are.
Here I am.
You're not all fucked up. Well, I mean, you're fucked up, but you're not all fucked up.
I'm not more fucked up than normal.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you're still working. You're still
living.
Have a family. Mm-hmm. You still have a home. You're still trying to make movies. You know, you're still doing. You know, a lot of people give the fuck up.
They lose their shit.
They lose their shit. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think, when I say about being proud of yourself, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I can sit here and talk shit on these shows and act like I'm superior than everybody. Like Chuck said, I'm like Christ.
I didn't say that, Sam. Sam said that and just realized I was talking about the actual Christ.
I was saying it in a, you know, I was saying it in that way.
Right. I just think it's really important for people not to forget who the fuck they are and what they've done, what they've been through, and they're still standing. I really feel that all the time. And that's where that attitude I have comes from. It's not because I think I'm better than anybody. It's just I know what I've been through. And I know that I'm still here. And I've got enough juice in me to do it. And I see that in you. And I see that in you, Sam. I see that in both you guys. I always have. And when I see you guys stray off of that, I know you guys do the same thing for me when I stray. When I'm being out of line or too far gone, you guys reel me the fuck back in. Both of you guys have done it many, many times. Many fucking times. You know, Sam and I wanted to reel you back in. We couldn't do it. We wanted to. I wanted to reel Sam back in one time, a couple times in our relationship. Chuck, you were there to try to help me reel her back in. We've done it for each other all the time.
I misunderstood. I just held her down.
But, you know, but look what happens. It's like Rick Grimes. You get to come back.
Right.
You get to come. You're not too far gone.
Death is something extraordinary in the way that people deal with it. Some people can't deal with it. No. Some people can't deal with it. Mm-mm. Death is hard. That's a very, very complex thing to deal with in life. And you really have to, you just have to, some emotional intelligence helps, but not everyone has that. So the backup plan is you go through what you go through and you deal with what you deal with. However, some people get lost in that and they go for things that numb them, and drugs and alcohol and everything like that that will numb you. And just, I think there's a pride in me that I feel for people when they don't do that.
That's what I'm talking
about.
When
they don't go down that path and they don't lose themselves in that, because death is so hard. It's so hard. You really do have to be, it's so hard. It's so hard not to lose yourself, especially when you love someone so much and you lose them. That's not easy. Mm. And I don't even care if it means, you know, not even death too, but sometimes you lose people that you love so much and they don't die. They're not dead. They're still alive.
Yep.
But you just lose them. And that's hard too. That's hard.
Even when a relationship dies, I mean, my relationship with my ex-wife died. I mean, I couldn't stop it. No. It was not within my control. Because if it was within my control, I'd still be with her trying to figure out, okay, we're just getting through this patch. I mean, God, I saw something from fucking Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell of all people who've been together for 46 or 50 fucking years, mm-hmm. however long they've been together. And she was like, I look at back at my life all the time. I'm like, oh my God, thank God I didn't do something stupid during that patch, because, you know, family is everything. Same thing for me. Family is everything. Mm-hmm. Whether it be people who live in your house, people you hold close to you, whatever it is,
extended
for me,
family
is everything.
Yeah.
So you have the family you're born into, the family you choose, and the family you bring in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to me, they're all just as important.
Loss is the one thing that I know fucked me up more than anything on the planet. Loss makes you bitter. Loss isolates you. Loss make life.
I say it can.
Life can. Yeah, loss can actually change your life for you to feel like you're alone and you quit, or it's going to isolate you to know never to get close to somebody again. That's how I look at it, and that's what happened to me. I didn't choose the path of like, oh, poor me, I'm all done because I got nobody, I'm going to just quit. No, I said, no, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm never going to get close to anybody fucking again. Shut out
everyone else, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. I did that because if you get close to them and they go, it hurts. Mm-hmm. It hurts. And it can be devastating.
And you'll never go through it again.
And I never knew how not to do that. And you laugh, Sam. You always laugh at me saying that because you don't understand it. But everybody's got their way. No, everybody's got their own way of getting through shit.
I'm not judging.
I've never chose drugs or alcohol to get through something, but I sure as shit chose myself. And I isolated myself away from others. I'm not saying that's right, but I had my own way. Everybody has a way. Everybody has a fucking way. And that's the tricky part about it. So, I mean, for me to judge Chuck or you or judge myself is irrelevant in the conversation because we can't do that. And I've done it many times with other people. I always think someone's a fucking bitch for doing something a certain way. I say it all the time and everybody makes fun of me. And I'm like, yeah, they are. But I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. I know it. I can't like take my life and make it like theirs. I know this. We're all different. I get this. I know this. But I still do it. I don't know why I do it. But I know I do it. And it ain't right. It ain't right at all. Because we all have our own way of doing stuff. And we all have to learn. Chuck didn't listen to us. I never listened to you guys. Sam didn't listen to us. You know, we all do it all the time. And it's just the way it is. I mean, we all have our own path. And our own way of figuring shit out.
Yeah, I have somebody that I deal with at work, and that's one of the things. Okay, so quick timeline. So last September was when my wife left. In December, 2 weeks before Christmas, is when she said she wanted a divorce. And a few months of craziness and chaos of everything going on in life. And then by the time we got to June, my son passed in July. My divorce was finalized in August. I put down the family fucking dog. And by September, I realized I was making mistakes in my life and needed to grab control of it and take better control. Mm-hmm. And my friend from work, she looks at me and she was like, how are you not drunk every day? Now, granted, I drink more brown sugar bourbon than I probably should be. But at the same time, enough to where my daughter has said something once in a while. But at the same time, I don't know how I've gotten through the last year with so much sanity. I don't know how I've gotten through this last year being as productive as I could be at work or still maintaining some type of composure when it came to what we were doing as I was trying to pull away and missing out on so many things that we were doing and still trying to come back and stay strong. Because as I was coming back into trying to maintain and to say, hey, I'm here to do everything, is when all this stuff was at the time. And everything was changing again. I don't know. I don't know why everybody's built different. I don't know why I'm still here and I'm still functional. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't have the answers for you, but all I can tell you is this. It's going to sound stupid. You have to step forward every day. If you sit still, you become stagnant, you grow mold, whatever analogy you want to use, you cannot sit still. You have to move forward. Sometimes moving forward is in your emotions. Sometimes moving forward is actually doing something productive. Sometimes moving forward is just making sure that you get up and make the bed and start your day. Because when you come home at the end of the day, you did something. Mm-hmm. No matter what, you did something. You did at least one thing. I do a lot every day. I do more than most people do. I understand that. I accept it. And I'm weird for it. I get it. But there's a lot of people who can't do anything. And they freeze. And it drives me nuts because it's in my family. And I can't fix it. And I get frustrated because I think they should. Because I know that no matter what, you can. You can fix it. But you have to want to. And until you can fix it, you're going to be stagnant. You're not going to move. You won't draw anybody to you because you're not moving toward them. You can't get somebody to come to you by sitting still. You can't get conversations to start by keeping your mouth closed. You have to make an effort. You have to move. So if you have to move, move forward.
I agree. 100%. 100%. All right. Wow. It's a hell of a year.
Sam, you okay? You okay?
You sure? You're on video right now. All right. Well, you made it through it all, sir.
I did.
Yeah.
How you, and I made it through.
Well, I was just going to ask, how, and before, you know, we end the show and stuff, how do you feel now? Where are you at?
I have pain every day, as I just said. There's no doubt about that. My pain is more for my loss of my son and is less for my loss of a relationship. The loss of a relationship sucks because it was loss of a friendship for so long. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like what I was forcing at you guys by the thought of me walking away from everything. I would have been forcing you guys to end part of a relationship that you didn't understand why it happened. I had the same thing happen to me. But that's less. That's less and less every day. I can't fix somebody else's mistakes. All I can do is try and fix my own. So, that being said, dealing with the loss is hard. But I'm ready to tackle each day. I'm ready to move on. I don't go to bed with sorrow. I do need to try and get back into doing some of my own personal stuff in the morning or in the evening just to find my own time. But other than that, I cry because I love someone so much. And so when you love someone that much and they're gone, you miss them because they made you happy. And it's okay to miss them. It's okay to cry. And it's okay to be grateful that you knew them, because that is the most important thing.
You got anything you want to add?
I have to pee. Sorry, I didn't ruin that moment, but I really have to pee.
It's a real moment.
I really have to pee.
It's a real moment. Okay. Well, Chuck, I didn't know how this show would go.
Neither did I.
Yeah, but I don't know how any of these shows go. So
that's true.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, we have people on shows to talk about their movies, and we talk about everything but...
Yeah, that happens all the time. Yeah.
And sometimes we talk about their butt.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're back on the air. We got through the year. We're still standing. We're still doing shit. We're still fighting. And I'm not just talking in the creative world. I'm talking about, like, day to day.
Absolutely.
You know. And I think it's important, and anybody listens to this show that's going through shit and has excuses of why they can't go and create something because their life isn't right. It ain't never going to be right. It ain't. You just go. You just got to go. It's never going to be ideal. Completely. And if it is for a moment, it's going to be just a fucking moment. Because next week, something's going to hit and you're in the middle of something. And you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do. Are you going to let everybody down, or are you going to keep going? And if you end up quitting for a minute, are you going to come back like Chuck did? Are you going to come back? You're goddamn right, you should. You should.
Because remember, you only quit when you stop trying.
That's right. Because there is really no normal life. There's just life. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Doc Holliday. Tombstone. Anyway. We had a hell of a year. We got a lot done, considering. And I think that each one of you guys should be very proud of yourselves for what you've accomplished. And what we've accomplished as a team. And the future is nothing but wide open for what we want to do. And if we want it, we go after it, we go get it. regardless of what happens on a day-to-day basis, we keep our focus. We can do anything. There might be setbacks. There might be hurdles. There might be fucking mountains. Doesn't matter. We got each other. We ain't alone. There's people out there by themselves trying to deal with this shit. And you know what? Some of them do it.
Some of them do.
Yeah, some of them do. Don't forget that. So, we're lucky. We're lucky. Anyway. Okay. Sam. Mm-hmm. We're back on the show. Mm-hmm. We got shit to do.
Mm-hmm. Who's next?
Logan.
Yeah, we got a lot of people.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
We got a lot of people.
Who's next? Are we doing it again this weekend? Are we doing it again next week? Are we doing it on next Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday? It's like six.
She gets a new scheduling book on Thursday.
Yeah, I need my new book.
She needs her book.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get her a new book.
Yeah.
And then we can go from there. Mm-hmm. But this will come out now.
I have no calendar to look at. I need a I do all the scheduling. I need a calendar, and I need a physical calendar to actually look at with my eyes. Like my phone calendar, fuck that shit. It don't work. I need a physical calendar.
She's old school.
I'm old school. I need to write. Yeah. I need to write with my handwriting.
For those of you who have been paying attention for the last four fucking years, Samantha is a writer.
Indeed.
So she likes to write.
Like to write. Damn. I have this ugly freaking big bump on my finger because I write so fucking much.
Why is it on that finger?
I don't know. Because that's where
she holds her pen that way.
Yeah, I hold my pen like that.
You know, and she's a legitimate writer. Like, we all say, oh yeah, I write. But we don't write. We type. We type shit. She writes shit. That should be different. Like, we shouldn't call writers. They're typers.
Well, we shouldn't call them typists either.
I don't know what to call them then.
I don't have a blog because I literally write by hand.
Right?
I can't really. It's hard to blog when you just write. Okay, I would blog if I was a blogger.
I take screenshots of every single page of my journal. Yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea. I've done that before when I've wanted to share letters I wrote to people, specifically Aaron. I will take a picture of what I wrote and send it to him instead of typing. Mm-hmm. That's how he gets... Yeah, that's funny. That's good. I literally write. I love writing. I never get sick of it. I never get tired.
No, you don't. You write your ass off.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Handwrite. I handwrite my ass off. I don't type my ass off. I write my ass.
She did.
I literally write. I know it's funny. It's kind of gone, but I still do it.
Yeah, you're a dying breed.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm old school.
Yeah. It's kind of dope, though. It's kind of dope.
We're fond of you, Sam. We think you're kind of groovy.
Well, you're
a groovy chick.
Yeah.
I made this callus on my finger for something.
And calluses are sexy. It's kind of like ribbed for my pleasure, you know?
Chicks dig scars and guys like calluses.
Yeah. Ribbed for my pleasure.
Well, I have a big old callus.
Great. And he used it to play with his freckle. Now that we've come back to Aaron's cock, let's move forward, shall we?
No, let's not.
I tried to go there.
You're the one who brought it up.
And I put it right back down, as you should have too, once in a while.
So Sam, before we end the show then, what do you got going on? What are you working on now, and what are your plans? I know you've been doing a lot of research on stuff, and you also have something else you're working on. What are you doing?
I am really trying to figure out what my next documentary is gonna be. I have been working on that for a while. I have things I want to do, and then I have things that are pulling at me, like really, like my soul is like, you need to do this right here, and bugging me and nagging at me. And so I'm kind of pushing for that, even though there's other things I want to work on, but I'm gonna go with my soul and my heart and do what's being pulled from me, like being pulled at me, being poked at me, always telling me, do this.
Dope.
So you're doing a documentary on Aaron?
No, that's not.
Isn't he just poking at you saying, honey,
I try to do interesting documentaries.
Yeah, I get it. And what about the doc you're working on now?
The one I'm working on now is really getting close to finishing up, wrapping that one up. And yeah, I couldn't have a better team working on it right now. And I'm looking forward to it coming right out at the beginning of the year, hopefully real shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because my genius editor and my genius composer have been working side by side and constantly working on it together. So we don't have to wait after it's edited for it to be composed, because he's been doing it this whole entire time.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So that saves time, and we're going to bring it out soon. It'll be out soon. And I'm super excited about that. And I'm super excited for this next year and what we are going to be doing and all the cool things that we have coming. I'm super excited. I couldn't be any more happy.
Right on.
And excited.
So what you're saying is you're happy and excited.
She's happy and excited.
Yeah. And now, I'm not stopping with the documentaries. I'm going to really be feeding everyone documentaries like crazy, because I have so many ideas.
Sam.
Yeah, it's dope.
Sam, are you happy?
I'm happy.
Do you know it?
Thank you.
There you go.
All right, Chuck, what about you, bro?
What about me? Holy shit, what am I doing? Let's see. Aside from being a massive star in the hit show on YouTube, The Horrorverse, where I play multiple characters because I'm just that fucking crazy, which, by the way, is an Aaron Carlson showrunner production, mostly written by and mostly shot by and mostly edited by.
Hey, I wrote some of that.
She did.
Yes. Yeah.
The next episode
coming
out. I have
zero to do with it except that.
Yeah, you wrote the next episode. And it's great. It's great. Yeah.
That's fun and games for me right there. I get to play I get to play Jason Voorhees, and I get to play the guy who's leading the team to hunt Jason Voorhees, and I've got to do some cameos with Michael, and I've got to do some handwork,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've done a lot too on set, especially.
But yeah, that's for that one. And then other than that, we are going back into pre-production for Say Goodbye as we pull two new cast members in to play the roles of Beth, my wife, since the real one bolted.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, we heard that.
And unfortunately, we're recasting also the sister role because, Laura,
someone
you can hear me. Call me, because I want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
I still think you should consider me for that part, though.
Bitch, you said you don't want to act.
Okay, but that was the part I wanted. Originally, I will play that part.
I thought you wanted to play the bad person part. You want? Oh, yeah, no, that's right. She wanted to play.
She wanted Abigail, and you wanted Matt. I said, fucking no. But guess what happened now, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Well. Anyway.
But anyway, as we move forward to figure things, are you sure you don't want to just play that role? Because you heard me give the conversation to Laura where I said she had free reign, so she could beat me on the chest, slap me in the face, whatever she wants to do, she can physically assault me.
I didn't even hear any of that. I don't even know that existed until right now. But I just always wanted that role. I wanted it from the beginning. I read your script, and that was the role I felt like I fit and I wanted. And maybe that's what threw me off about the whole thing, is because I didn't have that part. And I just really felt myself at that part. That was just really what I felt. So I'm telling you right now, if you need someone to play that part, it's me. I'll play it. I will do it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
We will have a continued conversation off the air, because I'm not going to do this here, because some people are reading for the part after conversation. But we'll see what we can figure out. But other than that, Aaron, I asked you what you're working on. I sold a little bit of what you're doing right now. Aaron, what are you working on?
Oh, just a Horrorverse. I'm working on the Horrorverse. I want to get back.
And he's cooking.
I want to get that done, and I want to help possibly another filmmaker make their movie this year, if we can do that. Or another writer, I should say, who wrote an excellent script. I'm willing to put off anything I have in the wings just for us to try to help somebody else do something and try to figure out what it's like to be a production company and because I don't know.
We can't yet disclose who that person is or what that is, but it's an amazing opportunity, and we will be disclosing it when we can.
It's a hell of a screenplay.
It's one hell of a Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It's fantastic. And I would love to make it. But yeah. As a production company, I'm like, okay, we're producers. Let's go. Let's make this. I'm like, oh, shit, we don't have any money. How are we going to help produce this? Okay.
We have to figure it out.
You just want to pay us to make it? Oh, shit, they don't got any money either. Well, how do we do this? How do we do this?
And we're going to be working on that.
That's the game. I have no idea. You know, and there's other filmmakers out there going, what the fuck are these guys talking about? They're a production company. I'm like, I don't fucking know, bro. I don't know how to do it. We wing it. We figure it out as we go. And I know we can make it. I know that. I just don't know what you're supposed to do.
Somehow we produce monies somewhere and stuff and things. And somehow things happen and things work out. And we're going to make this work out no different than we do everything.
Because it's not that fucking deep. It's just like we want to focus on the fucking art. All that other shit, we'll figure stuff out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a
just
good...
Make your,
it's
just
a great
make our shit.
It's
we just need to make our shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This person that we're speaking about is a part of our Around the Real family and has been for quite some time and is a fantastic, addition to our crew.
Yeah.
And absolutely. He's very, very, absolutely very talented in a lot of ways. So we're gonna figure this one out.
Yeah. I think it'd be a fun journey.
Yes.
I think it'd be worth it.
Yep.
So anyway, so yeah. Just
more
a horror
come on that. More to come on that.
More to come. So Horrorverse
planning and writing.
Yep. Horrorverse. Get that done so I can get it out of my way so I can catch up with you guys making like original stuff. Even though I think what we're writing is original, we just happen to borrow some of the characters that have already been made, but whatever. I don't care
Correct.
What anybody says. Yeah. Okay. That's it.
But this next year is going to be amazing for us.
Yeah.
From us. From us. We're going to create amazing things, and amazing things are going to happen with CCC Entertainment Group as a whole and all the people we've collected as we've gone along.
Yeah.
And that I shouldn't say collected them, but yes, we have gained a huge family.
I like collecting.
A huge family of great people and great actors and great writers and great, just amazing, amazing people that we have met along this last year. This last year has been one of the most influential and amazing years.
It's been a good
because
one.
We have gained some of the best people that we've ever met.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
We have a great family, and I am looking forward to this next year because it is going to be amazing. It's going to be great.
I couldn't agree more with you.
I feel it in my
soul. I can agree more.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks is the time it takes to build something. You know, that's the bummer, because if you look at it from one way, you know, it's like YouTube. It ain't going to make us dick. But it built something that's more valuable in the long run, I hope.
Well, this
and believe it will.
Has built something.
Exactly.
Right.
And we make dick on this.
We don't make anything.
No.
But we've made something that's invaluable. That
yes.
There's no value you can put on what we've actually
Out of all of this, let's be clear. There's only one person who gets dick from any of this that we're doing. And that's only because the two of you are a couple. So that's all I got to say.
Fair enough, Chuck. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm the one who gets dick, if anyone was wondering.
Anyway, Chuck, thank you for sharing your journey this year.
Yes, thank you.
It takes a lot of balls.
Yes.
To throw your garbage out there on the planet. But here's the thing. That's what I love about us. Because we're not like successful, like superstar status people, right? But everything we do on this show, we're already throwing it out there. We're already putting it out there. So just in case 4 or 5 years from now or 3 years from now or longer, if it does happen and we become successful, nobody's got any garbage on us. We already did
we
it
already
to ourselves.
Threw it all out there.
It's already there. It's already did fucking we? There. It's like, oh, you're bringing that up? Yeah, go back to episode 50. Fuck you. It's already there.
We already be-rabbited all that shit.
All that shit.
You can't.
Yeah.
Tell.
You know what I mean?
There's
so
nothing.
Fuck you and your shit. I love that. I think that's great. Yeah. There ain't no secrets here. So,
yeah.
But Chuck, honestly, seriously, thank you
yes,
for sharing
you.
It, because I know a lot of people out there wondered what the fuck was going on with you, what was happening.
Some people were probably
they were.
The people that are closest.
Yeah, I know you got people asking you, Sam, and I had a shit ton asking me.
I did too.
What's wrong with Chuck? I'm like, bruh, I don't know. He's going through some stuff. That's all I had. He's going through some stuff.
Well, that was what we said, because we didn't want to... We didn't want to air your laundry. That's for you to do. And that's what you just did. Yes. And thank you for that, because you're going to answer a lot of questions for people.
Yeah.
And I'm still here, and I don't mind talking. I don't like the sound of my own voice, but I understand it's soothing and makes most people relax.
Well, if you want Aaron to narrate
and have a conversation,
Aaron will gladly narrate because he loves the sound of his voice.
Yeah, I do. I do. And how I look, too. It's great. I just hope it inspires people, though. That's what I'm saying. Because I think a lot of people get down on themselves. I see it all the time. And I was talking to somebody else we know very closely online in a conversation. And, you know, this person was really talking about the wiring people have. And I was like, is it really wiring or is it programming? You know, what are you telling yourself? And to me, it's all about the program. It's all about what you're
Leo
teaching yourself.
Farted. That's the end of the podcast.
That's why
we gotta go.
Really love him. Studio.
Leo, you farted.
Fucking dogs, man. All right. Anyway, Chuck, since this was your show, would you please close it?
Yeah, let's do something different. Like, we don't want to do on every other single show. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us down around the Real Deep. Hang out for a cup of fucking alcohol.
And Leo farts.
And an awkward as shit conversation, finding out what happened to my life. Yes, I lived a lifetime of sorrow in the last year, and guess what? I'm still here. You can do it, too. Don't forget that. Pay close attention to what's going on, because if this episode really comes out this weekend to finish off the year, please note that on the 1st, Monday, bitches, Episode 9 of the Horrorverse is going to hit. So make sure you hit YouTube and check that out. In the first quarter of 2024, we will be finding out what happens in a will and a way as we go to the KWK Ranch and find out everything that happens with that amazingly strange, beautiful, wonderful family who lives out in the middle of butt-fuck nowhere and does amazing things for people.
Yes.
And with people. And it's a place you go to pay to stay, and then you do free labor.
But it totally works.
They want to do it. Yeah.
They don't fuck around.
They're no longer allowed to call it a dude ranch. Now they call it a guest ranch. But guess what? Dudes are doing some shit. It's a great thing to find out. The history of the family is amazing. Sam is doing what she does so well and loves and has a passion for. That puts a smile on her face. Aaron gets to talk regularly and gets to look at himself when he does his own videos. So he likes that. Me, I'm just getting through every day. And remember, if I can do it, you can do it. And especially remember to think hard, because you'll think it anyway.
We'll see everybody later. Bye.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. It's a bye, but bye. I'm going to do a little different.
You did it.
Yeah. For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Reel, please email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger, because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
How come they can't just message me again?
Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you.
Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Reel, yes, we want you.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
This week's episode is brought to you by Entrepreneur Swag Shop. As business owners, it's important that we create the right environment and surround ourselves with the right people and the right things to keep you focused and motivated.
Entrepreneur Swag Shop offers clothing and accessories designed to empower entrepreneurs to share their message, their beliefs, and their journey with the world. Through inspiration and identity, the powerful messages printed on the items will help align you with who you want to be and what you want to achieve.
Whether you are new or experienced, male or female, young or old, you'll absolutely find a message that resonates with you. Visit EntrepreneurSwagShop.com and use code AROUNDTHEREEL during checkout to get 10% off your order today.
Get that swag, people.